I'd like to commence our morning worship this morning by turning your attention to the Word of God. I want to read a few verses from Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And while you are finding the place, let me just remind you of the situation that we find ourselves in here in this 33rd chapter. Moses is numbering his hours. Soon he will climb Mount Nebo and surrender himself into the arms of God. Soon he will die. Soon he will be in the presence of his God. He will be leaving the camp. He will be leaving the people that he has loved for a long time. And he will be leaving behind his life. He's going to go to a better place. But he's leaving behind many precious memories. The people will be able to think of those happy times spent with God's servant. And he will be leaving behind many blessings for the people of God. And over this particular chapter, we could write the words, "The end of an era." And God's servant will soon be leaving the church. He will soon be leaving the people that he's loved for 12 years or thereabouts. And thankfully, he's going to a different location to take up the ministry of God's word. And the congregation will have happy memories of his ministry here. And the congregation has been blessed and will continue to be blessed. Just a couple of weeks back, or last week, new Communica members received into membership. And no doubt over the years, many precious souls have been brought to know Christ as Savior. So our brother is going, but the congregation here will have many precious memories of a man of God, a man who's been a blessing to not only the church, but this community, and also to our denomination. He will be sadly missed. He's greatly appreciated. And he is greatly loved. And he will be sadly missed. And in some ways, the church is coming to an end of an era. But there's one thing that God's servant wanted to see before he passed into the presence of God. He wanted to behold the glory of God. And that's what this chapter is about. I want to break into the chapter 33 at verse 13 and then read down to verse 23. Keeping in mind the thoughts I shared with you already. "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, that's God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said, that is Moses, unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Let that be the prayer in all of our hearts this day, and this memorable day here again in the congregation. And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. May God bless his word to all of our hearts, for Christ's sake. Now we'll take a moment to bow for prayer, please. Our Father, we're thankful this morning for the unspeakable joy and the great privilege of gathering around thy footstool of mercy. We thank thee, thou art the unchanging God of eternity, the God who showed his glory to Moses, the God who communed with Abraham, the God who was with his people during their wilderness wanderings, the God who brought them into the land of promise according to the promise of God. Thou art eternally the same. And we draw nigh into thy presence this day with thanksgiving in our hearts, and at the same time feeling a measure of sadness. We rejoice in the ministry of thy dear servant. We thank thee for what has been to this congregation these 12 years, what has been to individual members in the congregation in times of joy, in times of sadness, in times of grief. The Lord has used him mightily, and we thank thee for him and his ministry and his ability in the ministry of the Word of God, his compassion and his burden for souls, his burden for revival. We're thankful for a compassionate heart and for the way God has been pleased to use him in the building up of this congregation here in Coleraine. God bless his wife and family. We're thankful for them as well. And the congregation will not only miss him, but they will miss them as well. And so we commend them unto thy gracious care this day. Thou dost know the burden upon his heart today. It will be a very emotional time for him. And we ask of thee to give him grace as he preaches his final messages in this congregation. And I'm sure right now in the pulpit he's praying, Lord, show me thy glory. Show me thy way. If thy presence is not with me, lead me not up hence. And so we ask of thee to bless him as he says his farewell, as he moves on to that new location to minister for the Lord. May he be a blessing to that people, a blessing in that congregation. And may he be greatly used of God as he takes his parting from us in the days that lie ahead. We do thank thee for the congregation here. We commend it unto thee. We pray for guidance during the time of vacancy. We pray that we might know the leading of God and the help of God and the comfort of God and the power of God and the ministry of the work of, and the word of God. And we pray that there will be times of refreshment sent from the presence of God, that God will visit this congregation in the days that lie ahead. And may the seed that has already been preached, may it be watered through the prayers of the people of God. And even in days to come, may we see the fruit of our brother's ministry here in the congregation. May the devil be defeated. And may the Lord's people be encouraged in the Lord. And may they be richly blessed in the Lord. And during the time of vacancy, may the ministry continue to be a sterling ministry, a God-honoring ministry, a God-fearing ministry, a Christ-centered ministry. And grant that the Lord will be pleased in his divine purpose to send showers of blessing upon this people. So we commend thy servant and his wife and family unto thy care, and at the same time the congregation for the blessing of the Lord. Hear us as we continue before thee now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together, and we will remain seated as we sing Psalm 130. Psalm 130.
Thank you.
At this stage, I would like to call upon Mr. Stephen McLean, the clerk of session, to pay tribute to Mr. Higginson and the family, and also to make some presentations to him and the family. There will be more presentations to be made again tonight, but our brother will make, I think, three presentations right now, or the congregation, representatives of the congregation will make these presentations, and then he will make the announcements for today. I'll ask your brother to come to the front then, please.
I have to admit and say this is not a day that I looked forward to. And thankful to God for his leading and for his guiding in the life of this congregation. Today, on behalf of the session, committee, and congregation, I want to thank the Reverend Roger Higginson for his faithful service as minister of this congregation since November 2008. It has been my privilege to work with him on the session for over the last 11 years or so. And there's three aspects of the Reverend Higginson's life that I would like to mention this morning. So there's your 3 points already going to come through. I thought it's always good in every story to go back to the very beginning. And, of course, the Higginson family have been with us. They've changed a bit since when they first arrived all those years ago. And I thought it would be nice just to think of where it all began on November 2008.
Christ, the great head and sole king of the church, and by that authority which he has given to the church for its edification, we do ordain you and install you, Mr. Roger Higginson, to the office of minister in this congregation. And for this purpose, may the blessing of God rest upon you, and the Spirit of God fill your heart.
That was back in the days when we had the bricks on the wall. And I say things have changed. And you know, as I looked through that video, I just want to show one other clip from it. And really it was our brother's vision that he put forward on that night for his ministry here in Coleraine.
My vision is for God and for God alone. My vision is that God will come and do that which he is pleased to do with my life and with the life of every individual connected with the fellowship here in Coleraine. My vision is that God will make Coleraine his shop window to this province of ours, and that God will move and that God will send the awakening that we so desperately need. My vision is tonight that if you've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and if you've never been washed in that ruby blood that was shed so freely for your sins, my burden and my desire is that you will come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
I think we can honestly say that as a session, we are indebted to our pastor. And as a committee, as a congregation, we have had the privilege of having a man of God in our presence to lead the work here in Coleraine. And that's the first aspect I want to mention, is the Reverend Higginson as a believer, as a brother in the Lord. And you know, he has been an example there in 1 Peter chapter 3, as Peter speaks of elders, and of course our brother is the teaching elder here in Coleraine. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And we have been privileged to have, as I said, a man of God among us. It's sometimes easy to use that statement, but we have seen that lived out before us in our brother's testimony, in the testimony of Mrs. Higginson, Elaine, and in the testimony of their family. And many have commented, not even connected with this congregation, but others in this area have commented on the testimony of our brother, and indeed the influence and the impact that he has left upon this town of Coleraine. And surely that in and of itself is a wonderful thing. They have been an example to the flock of God, and they have made that lasting positive impact in this area. And I want to go on then and just mention the second point, and that is the Reverend Higginson as a pastor. And as I played there in that video clip, he set forth his vision for the work of God here in Coleraine. And really, I believe that did set the tone for what would come next over the next number of years. And our brother would say that all he wanted, and it's absolutely true, all he wanted was the glory of God, for God to work and to move in this particular area. And to that end, he set himself the task of preaching the word of God, being instant in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, exhorting, with all long-suffering. He set about all those different series to feed the flock of God, as Peter talks about as well. He has been steadfast. He's been unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I think of his heart for evangelism, the open airs, the gospel missions that we had in the Pitts area, in the Heights, in Ballybogie, Martinsbray, Portrush Town Hall, Port Stewart Town Hall, Windy Hall, all those different areas. And there's people here today who met the Saviour at those missions, who were saved through our brother's ministry. And you know, there's many aspects as we think of the work of God, many involved in the work of God, and our brother has been an encouragement in so many aspects of the work of God. If we think about our missions, we think also about the revival conference that was commenced under our brother's ministry. We think of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts that go forward week by week. He's been the chaplain at the university. He's taken the word of God into local schools, opened and seen doors opened for the preaching of the gospel, even in our local schools. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you know, even during lockdown, he didn't sit back and think, well, there's not much we can do here. The services went forth on the Lord's Day from this house, morning and evening, just as they always did. The Tuesday night Bible study went forth as it always did. But over and beyond the devotionals that went out each day at 3 o'clock, that was a wonderful opportunity to reach to the four corners of the earth. And there's people, perhaps even this morning, listening on through Facebook or through sermon audio, who have been blessed. And even over the last days, we've received so many comments from people who have been blessed and encouraged through that ministry. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, sadly, he only had one congregation member over that period, and that was me. So it's maybe no wonder he's trying to get away from Coleraine and to head off somewhere else. But, you know, he's a man who, behind the scenes, has done so much as well as a pastor of this flock. And there's so many who can testify to those times when he came alongside and helped and gave support and gave encouragement and was there for the people. And, you know, I like to bring in comments that people have made over the years. And one of our committee men a number of years ago, he made the comment, he says, the Reverend Higginson works his socks off for this congregation. And that just was it, simply put. That's exactly what he does. And, you know, that's not too far from the truth. Because one of the trade secrets I've learned is that he likes sometimes to preach without his shoes on. And some of you might have caught the odd glimpse of a pair of socks on the live broadcast that went out. And if you were doubting yourself, no, you were absolutely right. So I think we can say that was one time that the rubber didn't hit the road in that particular case, if you understand where I'm coming from there. So I believe he's left behind a legacy as a pastor. He's taught us not to be so much taken up with the external. Now, the external is important. And Mr. Irwin, and I'm grateful for him being here today to lead the meeting, he has indicated how we've seen the membership increase. We've seen all those doors, all those avenues of service opened to the praise and glory of God. our church is doing well. And that is great. But our pastor has taught us to go that level deeper. Where is the fruit of the Spirit in my life? What about the inner man of the heart? What is God doing in our hearts and in our lives? Are we really seeking God in the secret place? And that has been a challenge for me. I believe that the impact of our brother's ministry will never be fully uncovered this side of eternity. Spiritual impact is not measured in numbers and square meters, but in faithfulness to the Word of God and serving our Savior in the good times and in the bad times. And the work of God here has been sustained and built up in these past 12 years. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, friend, you have had the privilege of hearing the gospel preached to you faithfully, lovingly. And if you're not saved, you need to come and trust in the Savior that has been preached to you faithfully over these last number of years. Peter says, not for filthy lucre. And you know, we have a man here who has the highest levels of integrity. He has never sought for himself in anything he's done. It's all for the glory of God. Now, I've been all very positive so far, but maybe one or two wee things. He mentioned this a few weeks ago. I'm still not sure if he knows when the Sunday school social's on each year. And maybe, just maybe, he's got it sorted for this year, but we're maybe a wee bit too late on that. And I'm not sure either just about the family and friends service, when it's taking part. And sometimes whenever you make the announcements, you say, such and such a meeting is on at 8 o'clock or thereabouts. Now, I think that's the best get out ever. If you're not sure what time a meeting's on at, just say thereabouts, and that'll cover it. He's a brother in the Lord. He's been our pastor. He's been faithful to us. I can never thank him enough. I know, nearly said it wrong there, A.W. Tozer, that's Tozer the preacher now, not Tozer the dog, once talked about not putting pastors on pedestals. And I'm sure for a moment our pastor would not want us to do that. But friends, we need to understand and thank God for a man of God who has been faithful, who has been our example over the years. And I'm privileged to have worked with him. And that's the final point. There's the Reverend Higginson as a brother in the Lord. Reverend Higginson as our pastor. Roger as our friend. And that's the last point I want to bring this morning. Neither is being lords over God's heritage. We've had someone who has come alongside us, has been a friend, has been approachable. He can have a rapport with the youngest right through to the very oldest. He knows the details of our lives. He knows when you're not here, friend, in church. He notices. Not out of any lordly authority, but out of a concern for you. He is your friend. And sometimes he would mention to me, I noticed that so-and-so hasn't been out. I would have to say I didn't notice that, but he has noticed. And as your friend, he is concerned for you, and he has prayed for you. And as I said, it's been my privilege to work with him over these last number of years. But we know that the Lord has called him, and Elaine and the children, to another sphere of service. Acts 13, we read, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And just recently, the Lord has done that. He has called our brother to another sphere of service. And we will miss him. We love him. We love this family and the Lord. We thank them for all they have done for us as a congregation. And we wish them God's richest blessing as they move to Lisburn and take up the work of God there. And I want just to lighten it a wee bit at the end. There's not too many. I suppose when we took this photograph at the end of 10 years, we didn't realise it would be in a relatively short period when our brother would be heading on. But there's not too many ministers have this as their profile picture. on Facebook. And I think that says a lot for him. I know when I had to speak to Presbytery, I mentioned, warned the Lisburn congregation to keep him away from bicycles, because we know what has happened there over the years. If it's not the dog getting in the way, it's been him meeting the pavement quicker than he should have. But we do thank him for his ministry. And brother, if you could just come down, I've got a presentation just to make to you at this particular time. We're going to do this socially distanced as best as possible, but we just wanted to recognize your years of service. And on a personal note, kind of thank you for being my pastor, my brother in the Lord, my friend. And may God richly bless you in the days to come. There you go. Thank you. There's, just in case the committee are wondering, the box is a box of bonitos for the dog. We sort of left him out, so... I'm going to ask my wife, Gail, to come and to make a presentation to Mrs. Higginson. Thank you.
When the Lord calls a man to the ministry of a church, he also calls his wife. And in 2008, not only did the Lord call Mr. Higginson to Coleraine, but also his wife, Elaine. And as God's word tells us in Proverbs 18 and 22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favour of the Lord. And Mr. Higginson has certainly found a good wife in you, Elaine. A pastor's wife has a very vital role to play in the church, although the part that she plays is often unseen. I believe that the ministry of God's servant would be so much more difficult if it were not for the support, practically and prayerfully, of a good wife. I know that Elaine is a woman of prayer, and no doubt is upholding her husband every day at the throne of grace. I imagine that Elaine's role as pastor's wife must be sometimes quite challenging. Many evenings spent alone while her husband attends necessary presbytery and session meetings, sitting in a pew alone with a young family every Sabbath day in life, and no such thing as taking turns going to meetings when your husband is the pastor. Elaine, you have taken on your role without wavering, in your own quiet way, taking charge of the women's meeting, helping with the children's work, carrying the burdens of others on your shoulders. You have been a godly example, a friend and encourager to many, and you're a pleasure to know, and you will be missed. If I were to give you a verse to take with you, it would probably be the advice given in Micah 6, verse 8, to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. In other words, Elaine, just keep doing what you're doing. As a congregation, we assure you of our prayers and wish you every happiness and God's blessing as you continue your role as pastor's wife at a new place. I have been asked to present to you today a gift on behalf of the congregation here in Coleraine, and just to show our appreciation for all that you have done. So I'll just ask you to come up now and receive this.
At this stage, I'd like to ask our church secretary, Mr. Jim Stewart, to come forward and make a presentation. The presentations this morning are all on behalf of the congregation to the Higginson family, so I'll ask Jim to come now and make a presentation to the children, please.
Good morning, everyone. Firstly, can I thank the session for asking me to make this presentation to the Higginson children on behalf of all of us gathered in here this morning. And brother, just as a side note, it's been an honour to serve as your minute secretary for the past few years on the committee. The meetings always move very smoothly. They always go reasonably quickly, and we always come out as friends, which is the main thing. But folks, the Word of God tells us in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." But if you read on to verses 4 and 5, it also says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them." Now, according to the gospel that is Google search, a quiver holds 10 arrows. So, brother and sister, you have a wee bit yet to go. Folks, this is something I wasn't really expecting to be doing today, and if the committee can remember back to the night that we discussed it, once my name was mentioned, I went blank and I actually had to ask again who proposed and seconded it. It's not something that I want to be doing, as the same way it is, I'm sure it's not something that anybody wants to be seeing today as our pastor leaving. But if we look at it in football in terms, the transfer window is open, and our brother today, with his family, is making the transfer from Coleraine to Lisburn. Sarah, Luke, Joshua, it has been an absolute pleasure to watch us grow and develop into the wonderful young folk that you've become. Always full of beans, always up for a bit of crack, and you've always got three wee smiles and then wee faces of yours. We've never seen you grousing and grinning yet. Well, not yet, certainly. Do you know what, folks? Lisburn's gain is definitely Coleraine's loss. And on behalf of our church here, all of your friends here, I want to wish you God's richest blessings on whatever lies ahead. May you settle into your new schools quickly. May you settle into your new home quickly. And I want to take this opportunity just to encourage you to keep God central to everything that you do in your lives. Trust him for the little things as much as you trust him for the big things. And as you continue to move forward, keep looking upward. Always remember, back here at your first team, we'll always be praying for you. I'd just like to ask Sarah, Luke, and Joshua forward now to accept these wee tokens on our behalf.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Gail and Jim and the congregation, I was a wee bit emotional before the service started, and Mr. Irwin said, "Try to lighten the atmosphere by some humorous comments." I don't have any jokes this morning. I was going to the one about Englishman, the Irishman, the Scotchman. I don't think that would be all that appropriate. But look, it's lovely to be with you. And just looking at those pictures from 2008, whenever we were installed, it just reminds us how much time has gone by. 12 years has gone by so quickly. It just seems like a few years, really, just a handful. But I was looking there and I have a lot more grey hairs now, a lot more wrinkles, and I suppose the years have told the tale. But I think of Jacob and Rachel, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, but they seem just like a few days for the love that he had for her. And time has gone by, as we have said, so quickly here in Coleraine, and we have loved every minute of it, and we thank God for each and every one of you. I'm going to be saying a little bit more whenever I'm preaching in a few minutes' time, so I'm going to hold back on some of the comments. But just to thank every single one of you, I don't want to mention names, but to thank you all for your fellowship, and for your friendship, for your prayers, and for your support in the gospel. I'm overwhelmed that the Lord has allowed me to be part of your lives for these years. And God's will is described in Scripture as being good and acceptable and perfect, never easy. And it's not easy leaving, but the Lord has put us call in our lives, and we go forward in his will. I thought the emotional part was over a few weeks ago whenever we had gone to presbytery and then that Sunday morning, and I thought, that's great, that's it all behind, there'll be no more tears after that, after I dropped the bund at the end of that meeting. And this last week has been so busy. We've been up in Coleraine every day, and we wanted to get round and visit people but time hasn't been on her side. And so this meeting this morning has almost been put in the back burner. I hadn't time to think too much about it. Maybe I didn't want to think too much about it either. But here we are. And we love you all, every one of you. We'll always be your friends. And we look forward to that day whenever we will stand together again in glory. We've been through a lot together, weddings, funerals, happy occasions, sad occasions. And we look forward to that great reunion in the glory. I was sitting up there and I couldn't see Elaine and the children. They usually sit down here where the Morrows are sitting, somewhere around there. And I thought, oh, they must have legged it and chickened out, too cold feet at the last minute. But here they are. And can I thank God for, you know who I mean, Elaine and the children. I'll say a little bit more tonight, maybe, get my thoughts together this afternoon. And as I say, I've got a message here to preach in a few moments, and I'll say a little bit more then, but I'll hand it across to Mr. Irwin. Oh, have you not finished, Stephen? Sorry.
Sorry, just at this stage, I'm just going to bring the announcements and thank Mr. Higginson for his comments. Just to welcome everybody here today formally to our services and to those joining us on Facebook and also on Sermon Audio. We want to thank, as I said, the Reverend Irwin for being here today. He's our interim moderator over the time of vacancy. And he'll officially take up, I suppose, his role on Tuesday evening at the prayer meeting. So we thank him for coming today and for taking part. The service tonight at 6:30 is our gospel service, and the Reverend Higginson will be here for certainly his final time as pastor to preach the word, and the Reverend Irwin will also be here to lead the meeting. As we mentioned, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. it is the prayer meeting and Bible study, and the Reverend Irwin will be along to bring the word of God, and those meetings will also be broadcast live on the internet. Next Lord's Day, 10 a.m., please note the Sunday school has still not commenced at this point, but we are encouraging parents to try and get your children logged into FPC Kids on Facebook at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. There is a link on our own Facebook page for that, but if you can, in the interim period, use that. That will provide a means of having Sunday school, as it were, online. Services next Lord's Day at 11:30 and 6:30 p.m., and the Reverend Irwin will be along to bring the Word of God. We have been using the registration system over the last number of weeks, and can I just appeal that if anyone is not able to come tonight, if you're registered to come tonight and you can't, could you please let us know? We have a number of people who would like to come, but we don't have capacity for them, so if you could please let us know, that would be great. Friday the 18th of September 2020 is the Reverend Higginson's installation service as Minister of Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church, and that service will take place in the Martyrs Memorial Church in Belfast. So Martyrs Memorial, Belfast at 8 p.m. if anyone would like to go along. As usual, at the end of the service, the stewards will guide you from the church. Thank you.
I'd just like to thank our brother Stephen for making those presentations, taking over, and for paying that fitting tribute to Mr. Higginson. Now, when a man leaves, he usually has one farewell service, and that's maybe enough, but our brother is very special. He's getting two farewell services. That means he's going to have to go through the emotional thing again tonight, so pray for him that the Lord will bless. When I left my first church in Six Mile Cross, some of the people in the church knew I didn't like injections or needles. So when I went up into the pulpit that final day, there were two needles on the pulpit, the regular needle that you get the blood test with, and then a needle that you ram into a cow. And there was a sign with the regular one, this is the kind they use in County Tyrone. And then with the cow-sized one, this is the needles they use in County Down. So I got the point. You get the point? And I trust her brother has gotten the point today with all of these gifts and nice things said about him, that he is greatly loved, he's highly respected. I've said this already. And he will be sadly missed. And we say to God be the glory for his ministry in this house. Now we will sing the hymn number 344, I hear the words of love, I gaze upon the blood, I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. We'll keep our seats again as we sing 344. To invite the Reverend Higginson to come and to bring to us his final morning sermon.
2 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning, the second letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, the 13th and final chapter of that letter. And again, thank you so much. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mr. Irwin. And thank you, one and all, for coming out this morning. Second Corinthians chapter 13. And I'll read from verse 5 of the chapter. Paul says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning for the wonderful and matchless grace of our God. We thank thee for saving grace, sanctifying grace. We thank thee for grace, O God, that is strengthening grace, and grace that is always sufficient in our weakness. And Lord, we're conscious, as always, of our weakness. And we pray that you will speak now into all of our hearts and into all of our lives. Remember every brother and every sister. And grant, O God, we will know the enabling grace of God this morning. Show us, O God, thy glory. Presence thyself with us. Make this a blessed time around thy feet. And speak, O God, into our hearts and lives. Be glorified, be exalted, and uplift thy Son far above all. May he increase before us this morning, and may everything that is of man decrease. So glorify and exalt the Savior, for it's in his precious and worthy name we pray. Amen. You know, life seems to be a series of goodbyes. Every day, at some stage or another, we say goodbye to somebody. It might be our friends at school. It might be our work colleagues. It might be a loved one on the telephone. It might be in a store or a shop whenever we're purchasing something for our daily use. We often say goodbye. And so it is with church life as well. Every time we meet within these walls on the Lord's Day or across the church hall on a Tuesday night or in the upstairs room on a Friday night or in some of the committee rooms or Sunday school rooms, we're always bidding farewell, often saying goodbye one to another. Many goodbyes are temporary, but some goodbyes are a little bit more permanent. We say goodbye for the last time, and it may be we say goodbye to somebody for the last time, but we're not aware that that's the last time we will bid them a word of farewell. Most of you over the years have known the pain of bidding goodbye or farewell to a loved one, maybe a father or a mother, a brother or a sister, maybe even perhaps a son or a daughter or a close friend, and you have bid farewell to a loved one for the last time on earth. And you know, it can be the most difficult thing in all the world just to utter those simple sentiments and to bid farewell or to say goodbye. You know, the old missionaries on going to the mission field would often and mostly bid farewell to their loved ones as they left their hometown or their home city or their home village to go to the far-off mission fields, and they would bid farewell and say goodbye for the last time on earth. And they knew that in all likelihood, going to serve the Lord, they would never see their friends or their loved ones again. Some of those pioneer missionaries going to places like India or maybe some of the southern islands in the Pacific knew that their life expectancy would be something in the region of 1 to 3 years. And so they would take all of their meager belongings and put them inside a coffin. And they would bid farewell to their families and to their loved ones. The story is told of two Moravian missionaries from Germany who were leaving their family and their loved ones. They were going to a little Indian island. And the only way legally to get onto the island was to sign yourself in as a slave. And that meant a lifetime of servitude in a slave galley crossing the oceans and then a life of slavery on the island. And so they did that because they were burdened for the souls of people on that island who had never heard the gospel. And as their friends and family and congregational members bade them farewell, as they set foot onto a little vessel to go down the River Rhine in Germany, one of those Moravian missionaries lifted his hand and said these words: "May the Lamb in the midst of the throne receive all of the glory, due his sufferings on Calvary's cross. What a cost, what a price of discipleship. Sadly, some in life say goodbye to grace, and they say goodbye to gospel opportunity, and they say perhaps even goodbye to God. And it may be that you're listening online or you're here in person, and God is speaking to you again this Lord's Day. Do not bid farewell to another opportunity, but seize the gospel opportunity with both hands and embrace Christ as your Savior even this morning. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, we have Paul's farewell to the church at Corinth. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. This morning I stand as your pastor, as your brother, and as your friend. And I say to you this morning, finally, brethren, farewell. Just a few simple things that I want you to notice. Firstly, the sensitive expression of Paul's farewell. Finally, brethren, farewell. You know, farewells are never easy. And the great apostle Paul had his fair share of farewells. Acts chapter 18 and verse 19 through to 21. Going to Ephesus, it says, when they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell. Then in Acts chapter 20, we have Paul's lengthy farewell address to the church of God at Ephesus. We read in verse 36 of Acts 20, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down, prayed with them all. They all wept sore and fell upon Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most for all the words which he spake, and that they should see his face no more. And then in Acts chapter 21 and verse number 6, and when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. It was never easy for Paul to bid farewell, no matter how many times he seemed to use that expression. But you'll notice here that Paul's farewell to the church at Corinth, as we think of the sensitive expression of it, his farewell was conclusive. Finally, brethren, farewell. That word finally marks a certain sense of conclusiveness to Paul's goodbye to the church at Corinth. Paul had said many, many things to these believers in person, and then also through his letters. He had dealt with many, many vital subjects. He spoke about the judgment seat of Christ. He had spoke about tithes and offerings. He had spoke about spiritual gifts. He had spoke about the Lord's table. He had spoke even about the head covering. He'd spoke about the doctrine of angels. He had spoke about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had spoke about the resurrection morning. But most of all, Paul had preached the cross to the believers at Corinth. You remember his words in the second chapter of his first letter. And I, brethren, when I came among you, I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And over these last 12 years, we have dealt with many, many subjects. And I trust that central to them all has been the cross of our Lord and our Savior. But now his ministry is over. All that God has to say through Paul to the church at Corinth has been said. Somebody else will take up the work of God in that great city. And these, therefore, are Paul's last words to this church. And it seems that our ministry here has been over, is over, and we have loved every minute of it. His farewell is conclusive. His farewell is corporate. Finally, brethren, farewell. You know, it would be very easy to give a lengthy list of names, elders, committee men, Sunday school teachers, children's workers, faithful members, friends, brothers and sisters. I could mention every one of you by name. Time forbids us from doing that. So I say, like Paul, finally, brethren. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul addressed that church at Corinth as the church. Them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And now his final words to them is not just saints, not just a church, not just people that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, not merely people that are called, but simply brothers, sisters, brethren, family. People redeemed by the same blood. People born again by the same Spirit. People adopted into the same family. Brothers, sisters, brethren. I can address you this morning as a church. I can address you this morning as saints, as a family. But I call you this morning not just brethren, not just family, but friends. Some of the best friends that we have ever had. Paul's farewell was conclusive. Paul's farewell was corporate. Paul's farewell was concise. Finally, brethren, farewell. That little word farewell, you know, it's strange. It comes from a root verb that means to be cheerful. It speaks of a calmness of soul, to be calmly happy. Paul's really saying to them, farewell. It means be well. Finally, brethren, be well. Finally, brethren, be glad. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Finally, brethren, I bid you Godspeed. And so while Paul's heart undoubtedly was tinged with sorrow, there was also gladness in his heart. Because here was the people that Paul loved. Here was the people that Paul longed to be with. But his time to be with them was now over. It was a happy occasion, therefore, in many respects. And I bid you this morning Godspeed. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be well. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be glad. You know, it would often be a sad thing if we were having a bitter parting this morning. Sometimes that happens in church circles. I always pray that it would never happen in this church. That God's people would get on, that there would be unity, that there would never be strife, that there would never be a split. And I trust that that will always be the case. I'm glad that I can bid you farewell and have happy memories, and that you're not chasing me out of the town with lanterns and cudgels and pitchforks. Finally, brethren, farewell. The sensitive expression of Paul's farewell. Notice another thing in this great text of Scripture, the assertive exhortation in Paul's farewell. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. What Paul is really saying to this church that he loves, go on with God. Go through with God. Grow in grace. Get to know the Savior. Don't take your foot off the pedal. Don't take your hand off the plow. But go through with God, your vows to pay, your all upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost, Noel Grant said, will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. Be perfect. That speaks of maturity. That little word perfect, some of you will know, it really denotes be complete, be fit, be full, be mature. Paul's desire, therefore, for this church is that they will ever grow in grace and that they will get to know God better and become more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I suppose about 22 years ago, maybe, I met a Christian man. He had just been converted. He was a few years older than I was, down at a Christian convention in Bangor. He came from Drumahoe, just outside of Londonderry. He wasn't long saved, and had been saved in a wonderful way, and his life had been radically changed. And we just seemed to get on so well together. And as we were bidding farewell, all of those years ago, he was going into a particular Bible college and going into full-time Christian work. And he looked me in the eye and he said, listen, go on with God. Never let it be that if we meet together 10 or 20 years from now that we can't look each other in the eye because one of us or maybe even both of us are backslidden. Go through with God. We kept in touch for a little while by means of letter, but you know how things are. Sometimes when paths don't cross, it's hard to keep up the contact. But just a couple of years ago, we were in Portrush in one of the shops there, and I heard somebody call my name, and I turned around, and it was him. We'd both got a little bit older. He'd put on a little bit of weight. It took me a minute or two just to recognize him, but we got talking. And then he said to me, "What about church? Do you still go to church?" I says, "I do." This is actually pastor of a church just down the road. And he's still involved in Christian work. And about a fortnight after that, he came out to one of our services. And I thought, that's wonderful. What an awful thing to see. There's that fellow that we had fellowship with in the gospel. I can't look him in the eye because I'm backslidden. Don't let it be the case, friend, that if our paths cross in the future, and I pray and I trust that they will, maybe I'll get invited back to speak at a meeting from time to time, but I trust that your seat will still be occupied. Or if we meet outside one of the ice cream parlors or chip shops or restaurants or beaches in this locality, that we'll be able to look each other in the eye. We've gone on and we're getting to know God better. Be perfect, that's maturity. Be of good comfort, that's security. Believers in the first century were facing trying and uncertain days. Roman emperors were rising and falling like football managers, and the one thing they all had in common was that they all sought to persecute the church. There was a great persecution under Nero, Aurelius, Decius, and all of these Roman emperors, and Christians were being ripped to pieces. And I suppose it was a very perilous time for God's people. And yet in the midst of it all, Paul says, "Brethren, be of good comfort." That's security. Be of good comfort. God is still on the throne. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth its successive journeys run. God is still on the throne. Christ is still king in 2020. He's the head of this church. It never was and it never will be a pastor or even a board of elders or a committee. We thank God for them. But Jesus Christ is the head of his church. And he is able to comfort you and encourage you and strengthen you in these days of crisis that we're living in with all of the lockdown and everything that's gone on over this year. And he does what's best for his people. All things work together for good to them that love God. Be of one mind. That's conformity. This does not mean that we are all to be a bunch of robots and have exactly the same opinion on everything. But if you can cast your mind back to a few years ago, whenever we made our way through Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Paul said these wonderful words, and I believe they're some of the greatest words in all of the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And that should ever be the mindset of the believer, to identify with the cross, to humble ourselves, to die to self and to die to sin, and let that mind be in us. And if that mind is in us, then we can move on to the next step, live in peace. And that's unity. That's unity. The natural outcome, whenever we all endeavor to have the mind of Christ, will be unity. Unity is not something we manufacture. Unity is not something that we try to work up somehow or draw up legislation for. Unity is something that Christians keep, because unity comes in Christ. Paul said, "Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." What a blessed thing unity is. We thank God for the unity that there is here. We pray that that will ever continue and that that will develop, because it's a good and pleasant thing. John Fawcett was an old Anglican minister. He received a call to another church and he accepted it, and then had a service a little bit like this, but then revoked and said he wasn't going to accept the call after all, and stayed on for another, I think it was 50 years. And he wrote that great hymn, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Paul's assertive exhortation, Paul's sensitive expression. Notice lastly the positive expectation of Paul's farewell. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Paul has no doubts or reservations at all that God will richly and abundantly bless the church at Corinth in his absence. You'll notice there in that last little phrase, as Paul gives this positive expectation that God's attributes are affirmed. Now, God has many attributes. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And here Paul focuses on two aspects of our God. He describes him as being the God of love and the God of peace. You know, he's the God of love this morning. And the love of God is the greatest thing in all the world. And I want to tell you today that God loves you. And I love you, but God loves you with a love that's unblemished and unparalleled and unending, without beginning and without end. And oh, today that you would know something of the great love of God. Maybe you're not a Christian. You're here, and I thank God for your presence amongst us. But oh, today that you would know that God loves you, and that you'd realize the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And you would recognize in your heart and soul that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that you would take the Savior by the hand this morning and take him as your God and your Savior and experience that love of God deep down in your soul. You know, the old hymn writer said, "Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me." O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus, never lose sight of the cross. Never lose sight of the great love of God. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's the God of love. He's also the God of peace. That little phrase, the God of peace, is a term that the Apostle Paul used many, many times in Scripture. He used it twice in the book of Romans. He spoke about the God of peace as he wrote to the church at Philippi. He speaks about the God of peace now as he writes to the church at Corinth. He speaks about the God of peace again as he writes to the church at Thessalonica. And then if Paul was the author of the book of Hebrews, and I believe that he probably was, that he used the phrase there again, the God of peace. It meant so much to Paul that God was a God of peace. And God had drawn up terms of peace through the great plan of redemption that would be culminated on Calvary's cross, whereby a holy God would make peace through the blood of his cross. And whenever Paul was going about his exploits as a Jew, a persecutor of the church, he had no peace. In fact, Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus says, "Saul, it's hard for thee, isn't it? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." There was no peace in his heart. Maybe you've been kicking against the pricks. Your conscience has been troubled. You know that you need to get right with God. You know there's a heaven. And you know there's a hell, and you know there's a Savior, and you know there's a right way to live, and you know that you need to repent and believe, but you've been wrestling against it and kicking against it, and you don't sleep well, and there's no peace about today and about tomorrow. Paul came to know the great God of peace, and he says to this church, "The God of love and the God of peace shall be with you." God's attributes are affirmed. God's presence is assured. God shall be with you. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. The God of love and the God of peace shall be with you. That's the most wonderful thing, isn't it? To know God is with me in my life. God will never leave me nor forsake me. Friends come and friends go for legitimate reasons, maybe for reasons that aren't legitimate, but God is eternal and unchangeable And he'll never leave you, friend, and he'll never forsake you. You know, I could not live today without him, and God's promise always holds good. God said to Isaiah or Joshua, he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. His presence is ever with his people as they look to him. Great is thy faithfulness, pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. What a wonderful thing to have God's presence to cheer and to guide. Finally, brethren, farewell. God bless you. God lead you on with himself. This is a goodbye. Some of you maybe are saying goodbye to grace. Goodbye to opportunity. Goodbye to God. You know, years ago there was a Christian man who was on his deathbed. He had four children. Three of them were Christians, but one of them still wasn't. And as they sat around his deathbed, he opened his eyes and he recognized all of them and he began to bid farewell to each one of them. Good night, Rosemary. Good night, Sharon. Good night, John. And then he turned around to the youngest, who still wasn't a believer. He said, goodbye, Charlie. I'm saying good night because I know that I'll see many of you again in glory land. But maybe for some this is a final goodbye. Why not come to the cross? Why not come to Christ this morning? He's a wonderful friend. He's a wonderful Savior. Finally, brethren, farewell. I love you. God bless you. Mr. Herwood.
Let's bow our hearts and our heads in God's presence. Our Father, we thank thee for a sense of thy presence. We thank thee for the help given to thy servant to bring this final Sunday morning service. It was a word in season, came from his heart, and we know from the message itself how much he loves this congregation. And we pray that thou will answer his prayer and desire for this people, that the congregation will go on with God, that it will grow, that it will be united, that it will know much of the love of God and much of the peace of God, and that the Lord will be pleased to do great things in the days that lie ahead. So we thank thee for the help given today. We ask of thee to bless thy servant as he thinks again about the evening time. When it comes to the very final sermon, may the Lord give him grace again. May everything be brought to his mind that he needs to say and should say. And grant that in all things thy great name might be exalted, thy great name might be honored, and that glory will be ascribed to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Separate us now with thy blessing and in thy fear. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.